Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette, and by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my joy to look to the scripture, the precious truth of God, with you once again this Lord's Day morning. My friends, we're going to begin in Matthew 21 and look at verses 43 through 46 in just a moment. Please turn there with me in your Bibles as you are able to. And we thank God for his faithfulness to us. We thank God for the clear truth, wonderfully clear to us who believe in him. The essential truths of the Bible are so abundantly clear. As we consider his greatness and as we consider this subject today of God's judgment. And again, I'm relating from Scripture, precious truth, and I'm also relating to you in this sermon series about my reflections and observations that were made as I visited Israel not long ago. And I must share with you again that this is not from an anti-Semitic attitude. God has given me a deep love for the Jewish people. And though this subject is rather difficult, the subject of God's judgment upon any people, perhaps particularly for me today, as we are seeing in these verses the judgment of God upon the Jews for their rejection of the Messiah, but we must look to the Word of God. We must receive the whole counsel of God. And indeed, God's Word contains these precious truths. And so we must courageously look to the Word of God. My friends, God has given me a deep love for the Jewish people, and I pray that that love, which is true, will be communicated to you in today's teaching as we consider this subject. Let us now pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. We cry out for wisdom and understanding, and I pray for grace and unction as I bring these precious truths to those who are listening today. God, enable us to receive your word, which is truth, and we give you glory and praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 43, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. And my friends, let me share with you now the thoughts of the commentator Matthew Poole from these verses. And whatsoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. There will be many that shall be offended at Christ, his person, his doctrine, his institutions, upon which account he is called a stumbling stone, Romans 9:33. But they shall be broken. If they take offense at me, so as they will not believe on me, nor receive me, it will be their ruin. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. If they shall go on to persecute me and my members, so that I fall on them, they shall be ruined, irreparably and irrecoverably, with a more dreadful destruction. And so, my friends, in these verses, we see the Lord's prophecy, his clear declaration that the kingdom of God will be taken from the Jews, will be given to the Gentiles for the most part, and that he would bring destruction, judgment upon those who rejected him. His very wording is that he, the stumbling stone, the powerful stone, will grind to powder those who reject him. And so we also see in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord's words, beginning here in verse 1, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. We find also in Matthew chapter 23, the words of the Lord Jesus, beginning in verse 31. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous bloodshed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. And in Romans chapter 11, we find in verse 19, the word of the Lord. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. Praise God. That's the word of the Lord through Paul in Romans chapter 11. And so, in light of these verses, and there are many, many others that we could look at, we see the clear teaching that Christ is telling us in prophecy before the time that God's judgments would come upon Israel for their rejection of him. And we see that these judgments really disaster in God's providential control and dealings with the Jews resulted in great persecution and in the deaths of many Jews. In fact, it's believed that over 1 million Jews perished and that 97,000 were taken as slaves following the destruction of the Second Temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. It's believed by most Christian theologians, most commentators, that the Lord's prophecy there that I read to you in Matthew 23 and in Matthew 24 was fulfilled in the destruction of the temple, just as he said, and that the gospel would come to the Gentiles there in Matthew chapter 21 and in Romans chapter 11. Interesting that Paul wrote Romans 11 before 70 AD. And so again, this is a prophecy in a real sense too. And in this matter of God's severe dealings with Israel, we see that God has simply repeated a truth that he declared to Israel many, many times in the Old Testament also. In Isaiah chapter 48, in verse 8, the word of God says, surely you did not hear, surely you did not know, surely from long ago your ear was not opened, for I knew that you would deal very treacherously and were called a transgressor from the womb. In this verse, we see that God speaks of Israel, the nation, if you will, as an unbelieving and treacherous people. And in Isaiah chapter 48 in verse 18, the word of God says, oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Praise God. Here we see God's promise of mercy and good to Israel. And so we understand that really verse 18 can be thought of as a promise, particularly to the believing people of Israel. And so we see that God addresses Israel as an unbelieving people to be judged at times. He also addresses Israel as a nation that would be blessed for the sake of those who believed in him. And Romans chapter 11 gives us further insight upon this glorious truth. Verse 5 tells us, let me read this verse for you, Romans 11 verse 5, that even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. We see here that God has saved a remnant, a portion of the nation of Israel. And this is in line with his purposes of election. He had chosen these individuals to be the recipients of his saving grace. And so as God addresses the nation as an unbelieving people, he is speaking of the characteristic of the majority of the people. When he addresses Israel as his beloved, as a people who will receive his promised blessing, he is really most particularly referring to this remnant who are blessed with salvation, who indeed are precious in his sight. At times, God, for the sake of the remnant, favored, showed much mercy to the nation, which was characterized in the majority by unbelief. And so we see this principle that God blesses a remnant, and in this sense he brings a measure of blessing to a nation. But as we saw in the earlier verses that I read for you, in these prophecies of coming judgment, we see that God brings about this unusual act, a severe judgment upon the Jews. And this occurred in 70 AD, in which the temple was destroyed, and in which the Jewish nation in great measure was destroyed at the clear word of God. That is, there is no question that this is a fulfillment of the Lord Christ's prophecies. And the simple fact is that in God's great wisdom, and we must remember his character, he is infinitely merciful. He is patient. He is long-suffering. But he is also a God of wrath and a God of justice. He always does right. In his great heart, God brought this righteous judgment upon the people who rejected, even to the killing of his son, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so judgment in great severity fell upon them. This is an important verse, Romans 11, 5, because it speaks of the clear truth that God is severe in his judgment, but he is also great in his mercy and goodness. And in his severe judgments, men fall in the most severe of circumstances and consequences. But in his infinitely great mercy and goodness, he is able to bless to the uttermost in goodness those who really are obedient to him. And we remember that the call of the gospel is primarily a call of submission to rebel sinners, to no longer contend in war with the God of creation in their unbelief and hardness of heart, but to lay aside their weapons, to submit, to surrender to the God of mercy, who has promised mercy to those who believe in his dear and loving, compassionate, kind Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the gospel is God's call to submission to God, which is our rightful place as creatures. Praise God. If we do, we come into this infinitely great grace and goodness. If we don't, we come under the severe dealings of God. And as I researched for this sermon today, my heart was simply broken. I was touched and struck. I was humbled deeply. I was pained to consider some of the judgments that have come upon the Jews in history. And as we look at the Old Testament record, we see these great judgments that brought severe anguish and suffering, death and destruction upon the Jews. And as we look in history, since the destruction of the temple and the destruction of the nation of Israel back in 70 AD, we see once again great and severe persecutions and judgments. And I use that word judgment because in a real biblical sense, when disaster comes upon a person, biblically, the word judgment is often used for these destructions. And so in light of this, I use the word judgment for these great destructions that came upon Israel. Let me just share a few of these things with you this morning, simply to give you an idea of the severe judgment of God. In 132 through 135, according to Wikipedia, in the crushing of the Bar Koba revolt, a Jewish revolt, according to Cassius Dio, apparently a historian, 580,000 Jews are killed. Hadrian orders the expulsion of Jews from Judea, which is merged with Galilee in order to form the province of Syria, Palestina. The purpose of this name change was to suppress the Jewish people's connection to their historic homeland. In 325 AD, Jews are expelled and banned from Jerusalem. And so in approximately 200 or 250 years, as there were remaining Jews in Jerusalem, they are expelled and banned from Jerusalem in 325. In 547, Jews and Samaritans of Caesarea are massacred after revolting. 608 through 610, massacres of Jews all across the Byzantine Empire. 932, the Jewish quarter of Beirut is destroyed by a mob and a number of Jews are killed. 1146, 100,000 Jews are massacred by the Almohads in Fez and 120,000 in Marrakesh. And so we also see, my friends, that 6,000 Jews are burned to death in Mainz as a part of the Black Death Jewish persecutions when angry mobs charged the Jews initially, and the Jews did respond defended themselves in that. That was in 1349. And we find unthinkably that in the Nazi Holocaust, about 6 million Jews, including about 1 million children, were systematically killed by the Nazis in Germany and by Axis powers. We might mention that many Soviet Jews were also killed, some in persecutions in Russia at that time. We notice also that earlier pogroms had swept nations, and particularly in southern Russia, propelling mass Jewish immigrations. About 2 million Russian Jews immigrated from the time period of 1880 to 1924. Many of them immigrated to the United States. And so these are just a few of the instances of persecutions and great judgments, severe difficulties that have come upon the Jewish people since 70 AD. And if we were to do further research, we would find that there were many, many, many more persecutions. Now, again, this highlights the difficult subject of a people, a great people. In fact, the Old Testament calls the Jews the chosen people of God, and how it is that they have suffered in such severity under the hand of God in judgment through their history. And I must share with you, my friends, that I was deeply touched when I visited the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. I had, of course, heard about the terrible killings, the Nazi killings, the death camps, the concentration camps. I was born in 1954. I had heard as I went to school and from my family about these terrible things that had come to light. And so as I visited the Holocaust Museum, I again was just touched by the enormity of this terrible evil, this great sin that the Nazis killed systematically, routinely, so many millions of people. And I saw there at the Holocaust Museum complex a special memorial to the 1 million, perhaps 1 million plus children that were killed by the Nazis. Again, the Nazis were not alone in this persecution and killing, this genocide. Many other nations had also persecuted the Jews in history, and indeed that persecution continues today in some sense. But it's just an unthinkably horrible thing that men would do this to men. Again, this highlights for us the evil of the human heart, of the lost man, and how it is that we desperately need God's grace, true saving grace, that we might come to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. We are in the greatest need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we are evil, and we will perish in our evil and be justly, severely judged by God forever and ever, my friends. And so we see in this that sinful man needs salvation. We desperately need a change of heart from God. And God, in his great goodness, is able to change hearts. He does change hearts. If any man will believe in Christ, he will be saved from his sins. Praise God. He will be changed and receive a heart of flesh. And so in light of these great judgments of God, and in my time in Israel, I heard and noticed a few things that I want to share with you very briefly this morning. And that is that security, of course, is a huge issue in Israel. The Jewish people are keenly aware of their ill treatment, this severe treatment that they have suffered at the hands of many peoples, including professing Christian peoples and Muslim peoples and others in history. And so at the hands of unbelieving people, surely in history. And so security is a huge issue. The Jewish people are intent upon their national security. They are intent upon surviving in what they see to be a real threat to their survival by many nations today, perhaps particularly by the Muslim nations. And so in this, people shared with me the idea that that because of the great persecutions at time by those who have professed to be Christians in the past, that Christians were not true friends of the Jews, that Christians generally considered the Jews to be Christ killers, and that Christians considered it a duty, therefore, to persecute and perhaps even kill the Jews. And the idea was also shared with me that they are persecuted because of Jesus in great part. And I was able to share my heart's belief that my friends, Christians, of course, are not called to bring the faith or to bring judgment upon people with the sword. Christians are called to forgive and to love all people. And so sometimes the Jews have misidentified nations or peoples as true believing people, and so therefore have categorized these peoples as Christian peoples. And for instance, nations in Europe at one time that actively persecuted and said openly that they killed the Jews because they killed Christ. These nations were looked upon by the Jews as Christians because they professed faith in Christ. I can't help but think that many of these Jewish killers were not true Christians, of course. The Bible calls us to not be vengeful, but to give way to God. We are not to retaliate. We are not to kill our enemies. We are not to kill others. That is not in the spirit of Christ. That is a violation of the clear teaching, the very commandment of God. And so the idea that the Jews hold that they are persecuted because they killed Christ is very unfortunate. And unfortunately, it's true that people who professed faith in Christ did at times persecute and kill even great numbers of Jews. That's certainly true of the Nazis, who many of them professed to be true Christians. And that's just very unfortunate. The Jews have an idea based upon their history in great part that Christians and Muslims and others hate them and persecute them. And so in light of these terrible events, really, in light of these attitudes that the Jews have, in light of the treatment that the Jews have suffered, I think you would agree with me today that we are surely called by God to love the Jewish people and to perhaps have a special love for them and to have a special place in our hearts for them. And though it's probably true that many Jews wouldn't consider Christians to be friends for the most part, yet nevertheless, we should show true Christian love for them and be true friends to them, to pray for them faithfully. And so, my friends, again, this is a rather difficult subject to speak about. This is an unspeakable tragedy. It's difficult for me to put into words what I felt in my heart as I toured the Holocaust Museum, as I heard Jewish people tell me that Christians had persecuted them because they were Christ killers and that they couldn't trust Christians. Christians would always be their enemies. It's simply sad, isn't it? But nevertheless, by faith, we must trust God. We know the truth of Christ. Christ calls us to love people. Christ, in his infinite mercy, loved the Jewish people, reached out to them, gave his very life in ministry to them. And so as we consider these things which are very difficult for us to really fully understand, in fact, very difficult for us to understand in God's providential dealings with the Jews. And in fact, I must share with you, this is simply beyond my understanding. And yet, nevertheless, we see these things to be true. We must come to the conclusion that the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, is the God of love. And that with his Father, who is love, God's mercy is proclaimed to the Jews and to all peoples. And again, God's awesome truth is before us. He is a God who severely judges those who fall and who is wonderfully gracious to those who are in his grace and in his goodness. Such a clear call to come into the goodness and grace of God and to be abundantly blessed by the God who is love. We again submit to God and his ultimate wisdom. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God's judgment is his strange work, not his usual work, the Bible tells us. This is not something that God takes delight in, the Bible tells us. And yet, God is a great judge. He is just, and he fairly, justly, perfectly judges with the sin of men. In light of these awesome things, these great truths, and in light of God's awesome dealings with the Jews in history, we must just trust the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify him and pray for his mercies for the Jewish people, for all people who are characterized by unbelief. Amen. Father in heaven, help us to understand these things better. Give us grace, God. The sin of man is man's responsibility. Man is held accountable for his doings. God, you never commit evil. You are the great sovereign in control of all things. You cannot sin. You cannot do evil. And you have never done evil. You never will do evil. And so we love you, Lord, our God who is love, Father and Son. O God, our Spirit who sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts, we glorify you and we thank you. And we stand in amazement at the awesome truths we find in the Bible. Have mercy upon the Jewish people, upon all people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.